Good afternoon, Muskegon.
Good afternoon.
This is Tony Williams.
And Chauncey Williams, What Do I Do Now? Your guide to credit, debt, and planning for your financial success.
All right, Chauncey, we made it through the month of March. Yeah.
Yep, we marched on through.
March is over.
March 31st. Spring break will be in effect for me. I'm just going to kick back and relax and hang back. Some kid inboxed me like, you going to work out or something? I'll say, by myself. I'm going to relax and do some business stuff.
You're going to do a little kid break. You're going to take a break from the kids, man.
Yeah, you know, so sometimes you got to unplug. As I know families can't do that. We sending your kids back to you.
Okay, that's right. I got to hold. They can't send them nowhere else for a week.
Yeah, they can't drop them off in front of the school. Can't see something about teaching the grocery store. You gotta take your kid with you.
Okay, then. Yeah. Only for a week.
Yeah, it's only good. For a week.
And I imagine some might have plans to go out of town, you know, go spring break, vacationing or whatever.
Yeah, so it's a good thing. Kids are good anyway. I just wanted to have some fun, but you know how it is.
Yeah, you need a little downtime, man. You need downtime when you get through with your schedule of, you know, basketball, the daily grind in the school, your business. Yeah. It's like you got to do it, man. You got to recharge your batteries, Chauncey.
That's right. That's what I feel like I'm ready to kick back. But you done hit me with some interesting stuff. I know we talked last week talking about you want to come and do some insurance. Like,
yeah.
Whoa. So you showed me some deep things that I haven't really thought about, but I've been taught as a kid on how to deal with. So I'm looking at it now like, wow, I'm glad I was given knowledge beforehand.
So you'll be ahead of the curve.
Yep. I was listening to Jim Rohn this morning. He was saying, He said, it's good to be inspiring, but he said, if you inspire a fool, they're going to keep on doing the same thing in a bigger way. He said, it's good to acquire knowledge first.
Right.
Then I can inspire you.
Okay.
So get the education first, then inspire. So by being on here with you, you've given me another set of education of eyes that I can see like, I'm glad I went about things where I'm going right now because it could be a lot different.
Yeah, it could be a disastrous situation, man. This insurance game is a serious game if you don't make the right decisions. You know, last week I had planned to talk about life insurance and the preparations and, you know, getting ready to, you know, part of your financial planning. But some things took place this week in the office that I felt compelled to talk about because I think the situation was probably not isolated. I think there's a lot of folks out there that's could be put in the same situation, and it may turn out even in worse. So, and it's dealing with the no-fault insurance laws in Michigan.
Okay. What's the situation?
Well, you know, in Michigan, the law says that you must have no-fault insurance. Okay? No-fault insurance covers property damage and personal liability. Okay? And most agencies, insurance agencies, and I've watched them come into my office with the various proposals from other companies, and they're just giving these people 20-40. By that I mean you get $20,000 in coverage from the insurance company in the event that you're negligent in an automobile accident. So this particular customer, when she first came to my office, that's what she wanted. And I said, no way. You need to go somewhere else because I don't sell that kind of insurance. You're going to have minimum of $100,000, $300,000 in coverage in the event there's an accident, you're at fault. I don't want to have a conversation where why didn't you cover me properly? So my reputation, my integrity is worth more than trying to just get one person in my office to purchase a policy that I think is not the right kind of policy. So give you the rest of the story. This customer called me a couple days ago, said that her car had been in an accident. Her son was driving the vehicle, ran a stop sign.
You're not her agent, though, right?
Yes. Oh, yeah. Okay. I wrote her a policy, but I wrote it the way I write them.
Okay.
I didn't give her what she asked for.
Okay, go ahead.
Okay. So I gave her the $100,000, $300,000. So she called the other day and said her son had been in an accident, ran a stop sign. And individuals in really bad shape, fighting for their life. So knowing what the cost of insurance is for medical, this is going to be one tremendous bill. Hopefully this individual pulls through and we're not dealing with a, you know, with a death claim.
Moral hazard.
Yeah. So how it works is that individual, if he had insurance, it's going to pay whatever his limits were. Just say if they were $100,000. His hospital bill is $200,000, okay? His insurance company is going to cover the $100,000 that he's got, and then they're going to come after her insurance for the rest of it. Now, say, for instance, I wrote that policy like she asked me to.
Okay.
She would have had $20,000 in coverage. Okay.
Just to offer the victim.
Right. Okay. Because what's going to happen is it's called subrogation. In the state of Michigan, what no fault says is that your insurance company takes care of you, my insurance company takes care of me. Unless there's a situation where I've been gravely harmed, injured in the automobile accident, died, disfigured,
dismembered. Substitution and subrogation.
Now I can sue.
Yeah.
Okay. But if there's an accident in the state of Michigan and there's just car injuries, you know, just the car is just damaged, nobody's injured, then I can't sue you. Okay? I can't sue you. But if I'm injured, now I can sue you. Okay? So what's going to happen is this. If this, we're going to use that as an example, the hospital bill is going to be $200,000. His insurance company is going to cover basically the $200,000 technically. But they're going to turn around and come after her insurance company for actually the whole amount. But her insurance company is going to pay the $100,000, which it is. And if their insurance company wants to sue her, they can. Because of the neglect of this individual running the stop sign.
Somebody running the stop sign without stopping. So it was like, it was an accident, moral hazard. They just did what they...
It's negligent.
Yeah. It's just out of...
It's negligent.
It's out of morals. It's just, you just did something, ran a stop sign against the law, and you almost killed somebody. Mm-hmm. You about to.
Yeah. So, again, when you're riding around, and please... If you guys listen, if you hear me, look at your insurance policy. Find out what your limits of liability are, okay? And it's right there on your policy. And it clearly says what your property damage limit is, bodily injury, personal protection insurance, which is normally up to $1 million. So chances are that part of the policy will kick in for the property protection insurance. Up to $1 million. It's not expensive. They're line items. And we got some examples that we're going to take a look at to show you what other folks is paying across the state of Michigan. But my main concern today is that make sure that everybody is aware of this component in their insurance policy that is called bodily injury liability. Most people got 20,000. One accident and you can be wiped out. Minimum should be 100 to 300. Property damage liability, minimum of 100,000. And you got the personal injury protection of $1 million. So if you don't have those kinds of components in your policy, get them. They're very inexpensive. For 6 months, probably cost you $14. Okay. Based on your credit score, driving history, all those kinds of things. But again, I just felt so compelled to share this information with our audience because, you know, bad things do happen to good people. Because this customer is a good person.
Call life.
Work hard, do all the right things, went through things the right way. Just didn't understand really what this insurance game is about. And that's my job, is to make sure when you leave my office, you understand what you've purchased, the kind of protection you have, because if you work every day and you're trying to build something for the future, you need to protect yourself in the event something like this happens. I read a statistic the other day, blew me away. I tell you what, I'm not gonna read it. I'm gonna let Chauncey read it.
The hit and run.
No, here, read, start right there.
Okay. It says, in cities such as Detroit, Pontiac, and Flint, where it's estimated that as many as 50% of drivers are driving cars uninsured, the numbers are substantially higher.
Is that incredible, man?
So that means if I'm a police officer and I see somebody in these cities, if I can flip a coin.
That's right.
And just be pulling people over just by flipping a coin. Like, this coin is telling me it's a chance that you might not have no insurance.
50%. 50, one 50. Out of every two cars is uninsured.
So that's the reason to profile somebody, too. Just because.
Okay. And trust me, they do.
Yeah, because it's right of responsibility for the insurance. You're like, oh, that's going to be a big charge. It's a big ticket. That's right. I know they don't have insurance in this area.
Because there's another component in your insurance policy that says underinsured and uninsured coverage, which says that if you are involved in an accident with one of these jokers that don't have insurance, at least you have it in your policy that you're going to be taken care of. Okay? So, in other words, they can't subrogate an individual that has no insurance. Okay, but yet you still got injuries and what have you, and you want to be compensated for it.
So then they'll come after them and sue them if they don't have no insurance, they hit you.
Yeah, you know, there's the laws for no insurance. They will lock you up, okay? lock you up and fine you. Oh, here it is here. It says here the law. If you are convicted of driving without basic no-fault insurance, you may be fined up to $500, put in jail for 1 year or both. You may so also have the additional fees and costs pursuant to the 2003 Michigan Driver's Responsibility Law. So I think everybody heard about that. So you just don't want to have that happen to you, okay? And then it says, what happens if you drive without insurance and have an accident? If you own a car without no-fault insurance and have an accident, you can be sued, held personally liable, and you may have to pay a lawyer and court costs. If you are hurt in the accident, you will not be paid for medical expense, wage loss, loss of service, or any other no-fault benefits. So it is imperative that, you know, you bite the bullet and pay for this insurance. Because something were to happen, it's going to be ugly. I shared some examples, Chauncey, earlier about a customer I had that lives in Detroit.
Okay, yeah, I saw that. I thought you was trying to show me a Rolls Royce or something. That's what that insurance looked like.
So that's a part of this 50%, Chauncey.
Okay.
That's the 50%. If you had
you got to balance it out then. Like, basically, if a lot of people don't have insurance, they tax the people that need to get it.
Right. So this individual here that pays $3,427.20 for 6 months.
On one car, right?
That's one car. One vehicle. That was a 2014 miles that we looked at.
Yep. So
they say, well, I'm not going to pay that. So what's the alternative? You drive without insurance.
Or drive with a little fake paper.
If something happens.
Something happened, you don't have no insurance.
It's no insurance. So this is the dilemma that the folks in the Detroit metropolitan area faces is the fact that the insurance industry has basically turned their back on that segment of the population. They said, we don't want to insure the people in Detroit. There's a number of reasons why.
It's called redlining and zoning. Like, nope, that area, yeah, is, you cannot insure.
But everybody is doing it only because of the PIP fraud. We covered that some months back.
Yes.
Which is huge. It's huge. The amount of thefts, the amount of staged accidents, from a profitability standpoint, it's a bad area. You just can't make any money in that area as an insurance company. Because, at the end of the day, that's what it's all about.
Making some dollars.
Making a profit.
But if you're charging somebody almost $4,000 for insurance, even though that's not the insurance company's fault, is somebody actually willing to pay this?
She has to. She's paying it.
$3,500 divided by six. It's like almost $600 a month.
Yeah. To drive a vehicle.
That's two cars. You can get two cars. This one made in 2014. With a decent credit score, you can get two cars and pay their insurance in Muskegon.
Yeah.
Every month.
Yeah, we had an example of these people got two brand new vehicles here living in Muskegon area, and their bill is like $1,100. So that's less than $100 a month for full coverage on two brand new vehicles.
Man, that's crazy.
And really, again, that's what the industry has done. I talked to people, other agents in that area, and they said they just can't write them. If you're in that Detroit proper, they can't write that insurance.
$3,000. So you just did look at the comparison, because I think mine is close to like that.
Mm-hmm.
Every 6 months, I'm paying like seven or something.
Yeah,
mine. But it's one car.
One car. One person.
So you ride around in insurance that's worth more than the car.
Yep.
It's not even worth having a car then.
It's not. Not at that rate. I wouldn't.
Hell.
But, you know, she's from the old school that said if she has a car, she's going to have insurance on it. She pays it every month. And we do, you know, we shop her around. We try to help her out.
Try to lower it and see if it's better.
Well, through a network of friends, you know, I'll send her policy over to some independents, other captive agents, just to see what we can do. And they can't touch it. Nope, can't touch it. So your credit score, you know, like we talked before, that has something to do with it too. So you always want to make sure you keep that tighten up.
Like I'm looking at this policy right here. This is one with six cars on it.
Mm-hmm.
And every month, I'm looking at the balance. They say, and this is all confidential. There's nobody's name, anything. $1,200 a month.
$1,200 full coverage on. How many vehicles it was?
I think it said six vehicles. It was six vehicles. $1,200 a month. And they got the payment plan, the six pays.
Yeah.
So if you got that many cars.
It's a lot of money, man.
It's a lot of money you throwing at insurance. Unless you driving all them cars, you got to insure for somebody else.
That's potentially an issue.
But you could be in a lot of trouble, though, can't you, if you do that?
Yeah. What'll happen is they can, you know, possibly deny a claim if an individual does not live in your household and they find out it's titled in another person's name and a whole different address, yeah, they can actually void that policy because that's considered fraud.
Yeah, because it's like when I remember people used to do this when we was younger, like, and it's not getting off the subject, but it's kind of connected. Like Sprint had this thing where you could add so many friends to your bill.
Right.
You know, you're like, all right, I got a Sprint Nextel. I got Nextel phone chirping. Remember those things?
Oh, yeah.
So you could have so many people on your line. Because you the one had the good credit. So everybody get on your line and everybody bill cheaper because they on your line. I don't know this particular client's situation, but it's six cars on there.
Uh-huh.
I mean, that's lifestyles of the rich and famous in Muskegon. You got six cars.
Six cars. And all full covered.
All of them fully covered. that seems like somebody else might be riding the vehicle.
Is that a red flag or what?
Yeah, it might be. It might be. But that's none of my business. Because six cars, okay. If it's six cars and my credit the best, everybody insurance only $200 a month. Just give me $200 a month. I can use some cheaper insurance.
Yeah.
I put it all in my name. It's like family members and things like that. But it's like an accident. Like you said, the title is different. Address is different. Relationship is different.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of times, like on all my for my car, all my drivers is on my insurance policy.
That's what it's supposed to
my
be.
My wife's name and mine with the points.
Mm-hmm.
I tell you, you better not get no points. You're going to be catching the cattle. Whatever, you're going to be catching the Mets bus around the city.
Right, you don't want no points. Yeah. That goes to another story that says, I had a lady tell me the other day that she had got stopped coming from Lansing, and a police officer did her a favor, wrote her a five over. Like I said, he didn't do you no favor.
No, it's still the points.
If he going to do you a favor, he wouldn't have given you a ticket because it still shows up as a ticket when it comes to your insurance score. All right? So if the police officer try to play that game on you, telling you, well, you know, you was 10 over or whatever, but I'm only going to write it five of them and give you a break, you tell him, if you really want to give me a break, don't give me a ticket because the insurance industry does not look at the amount over per se, versus the fact that I have a speeding ticket. So, and we know there's always this old story about they don't have quotas, right? That the police officers don't have a quota as to how many tickets they have to write. Well, let me tell you this.
You got to get some work done. You just can't be riding 8 hours and not doing nothing.
Everybody gets an evaluation, that's just right. Like you do on your job.
Yep, teachers, all right? All that, everybody do.
So when it's time for this police officer evaluation and the chief say, well, you know, it's kind of ironic you haven't wrote any tickets in the last 6 months.
Or the six, if you, like you said, if you're not, you're supposed to have a quota if it's your whole career.
Right, right. It may be an unwritten rule that you don't have a quota, but there's an expectation that during the course of an 8 hour or 12 hour shift, you mean to tell me you found nobody speeding?
Nobody.
Come on.
In areas where it's prone crime or half of people got insurance or, you know.
Right, right. There should be some citations. I don't care if it better be a parking ticket. It better be a certain citations you wrote in order for you to keep your job and to continue to get paid as a police officer.
You're exactly right.
So. Yeah, don't let them run that game on you. If they're going to give you a break, tell them not to give you a ticket.
Yep, that's the break.
Yeah, I'll slow down, officer. Just don't give me a ticket. Because it does affect your insurance rates. And it's like your credit score.
And it's worse. When you get tickets, it's still your record longer.
3 years. It says that you actually charge 3 years, but they watch it for five. Okay? So when the underwriters do the algorithms for your premium, you get a charge for 3 years, but they can also just take a look at your past record. They may not charge you for it, but they can look at it and say, okay, they clean their record up. They haven't gotten any tickets for the last 3 years. But prior to that, they had gotten a whole bunch of them. So you're not charged for it, but it is viewed. And as long as, you know, you show that, you know, there's some change in behavior, you know, some behavior modification as far as letting up off that gas pedal, they'll consider giving you a better rate.
Okay. Well, that's how it's done. So in the end, it comes down to the decision of a person, even after they do their equation and the computer does what they're supposed to do.
Yeah, yeah. Actually, the underwriters build these algorithms, okay? Every once in a while, something extraordinary will come up. But for the most part, this stuff is all built in the fact that when you put that person's information into the system, you can actually generate a report, and you can actually show them their report. And the system will base their premium on that information provided and the algorithms that's used, that's designed by underwriters.
Okay.
To determine what kind of rate you're going to get. So it's like here, when they look at this, this is the one from over and by the Detroit area. They look at that and they look, you know, they know at some point in time there's going to be a claim.
Yeah, so like, and they're looking here, it says home ownership and discount transfer. So, like, what is that?
Transfer says that she was with someone else.
So she came over.
And she transferred.
Yeah, offer her a discount.
Yep. And she got a discount for being a homeowner. Okay. So those are some of the perks that you get when you move your policy. So, and again, you know, we think that's a lot of money, but the lady has been with me for, I bet you, 5 years.
Yeah, they didn't say accident forgiveness prevents one accident from impacting your premium.
Yeah, so in other words, that's a forgiveness. If you have an accident, they won't charge you. Well, I would hope not. I would hope not.
At $3,500, please. I'm driving like Miss Daisy.
Okay, I'm not getting a ticket, man. No, 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 no.
Ride, put like on at the bowling alley, put the bumbles on the car.
Okay.
It's not going to happen. Ooh, yeah. I don't know. I couldn't depart with that. I was thinking about that today. I was looking at some things, like properties and things. I was like, man, I wish I would pay somebody $600 a month for some insurance. That's what I was thinking. I was like, what do I have to pay that much for insurance? Like, thank you, Lord, for mine not being where it's ridiculous like this. But
yeah,
it's people out there that's probably driving with no insurance or paying astronomical amounts like that because they got points. Bad driving history, bad credit, and it's keep on paying it. If they just go and say, all right, let me sit down, get a lower graded car, get my credit on track, keep my driving record, that'd be a lot cheaper.
It would be. I mean, and that to me says that I'm, you know, I probably can't use public transportation 100% of the time, but at some point in time, I got to consider using public transportation because I'm not going to pay these kind of numbers every month.
And then even find it, because there's ways where you can even find if you use your work as a vehicle, as a work vehicle, like I only drive 30 miles or 100
miles
a week.
She's retired.
Yeah, and she's retired.
Yeah.
So her pension money paying for this. And retirement and stock stuff. No, no, no.
Mm-hmm. Don't miss a payment. Has not missed a payment.
It's a good pension, I guess.
Okay.
That could be going to the grandkids, that right there.
Yeah, yeah, that's unfortunate. You know, $600 could easily be your entire expense for all your insurance products.
Yep, house, life insurance,
yeah,
car.
Your homeowner's insurance, your life insurance, your auto insurance, possibly even investment money.
Yep.
You know, $600 from a discretionary standpoint. You know, and I don't
whole
think.
Whole life insurance, you get two policies. Then you got everything. Mm-hmm. So it's just all about just making sure that you're conscious of your scores, your numbers. Those numbers, they play an important role in your reputation.
Yes.
Like we live in a world today where they say numbers don't lie. They don't.
Mm-mm.
Numbers do not lie.
They don't.
In the end, like when you come down to, like you say, the loan officer, the insurance agent looking at your broker, looking at your information. The DMV, you know, it's so many things that control what we do based on our reputation. And if we can do something about it and make sure that we're not paying these astronomical amounts of money.
Yeah.
It can make life a lot easier.
I don't get it. I really don't. I don't understand how people can part with money in this manner.
So easily.
Yeah. Very easy. And then the other factor to this whole insurance game is the young drivers, okay?
They're the ones that are just going, I got approved.
The industry, the industry's taking a whole different view, man, and they got statistics.
They get them.
They've done the case studies. Just like the guy a couple years ago over, I think he was in Kenowa Hills, that started the campaign about no texting and driving, because he, you know, his son, he lost his son in an accident because he was texting and driving. Unfortunately, I mean, you can just about be anywhere out. You'd be at a restaurant, you'd be at a basketball game, any kind of event, and you watch the young folks. It's like they are preoccupied with these telephones.
If you see them when you go on the highway.
Okay.
Because like I be in my truck, and sometimes I'm looking down. Hey.
They're trying to hook up the text.
And then they playing that music, so they like.
Distracted driving.
They texting, and they Bluetoothed, and they everything.
Yeah. But the main thing is paying attention to where you're going, keeping your eyes on the road.
Yeah. But even the cars, even they have the cars where the cars are Bluetooth, so that you can have your phone, and if you have the And that's an insurance discount, too, if a car has that stuff in there. Because like I know our car does, where my wife needed that, too, because she'd be on the phone a lot. So she's able to just have a phone that she could talk through the speakers and everything around.
Right.
So I made sure that happened for her. Because okay. I've been in her when we had the charger. She used to always ride and be, I'm like, you're going to get us killed.
Okay.
Get off the phone. You know, so now she is able to do that. So that was a penny that I had to pay, but it's. For safety for me, looking at her like how foolish she is.
Yeah, I mean, you know? I think that's a step. The Bluetooth is a step in the right direction, but they even found that, you know, there's some downsides to that. Because
you might get to arguing on the phone with somebody in the car. You know, you take it out the road. So, like you said, it's always a discretionary thing. Like, I did my homework on it. I was like, well, how would I approach it? Like, would I rather have this person be on the phone, you know, playing with a piece or something, an earpiece or something fall out? Or have them with the option where they can.
What about the phone? There was a situation where a kid got killed, phone fell, and he was reaching for the phone.
He smashed.
Yeah.
He ran back into a semi truck.
Yep, sure did. That's what happened. You know what I mean? I look at it like this, Chauncey. 20 years ago, what did we do?
Man, we ain't had nothing.
I mean, 10 years ago almost.
I remember everybody's phone number.
Okay.
And if I had a cell phone, one of them big old ones like that phone right there, and I had to put it in a backpack, not in my pocket. And it had a long antenna on it.
And you just waited. Yeah, you waited. You waited. You had to pull over to find a pay phone.
Yeah.
You're not everything driving. You had to go there. You have to get on that pay phone to consummate your business.
Yep. Everything can wait. Not everything is set up like that.
Instantaneous, man. Yep. It's instant gratification. And it's cost people their lives, unfortunately. You know, I would hate to think that this individual's son was distracted. I mean, people have been blowing through stop signs for years.
But to say, like, you ran through a stop sign because you was looking at Facebook.
Okay. But trust me, if I had the data, the statistics over the last 10 years, I am willing to bet that there's a tremendous increase in the amount of people blowing through stop signs, red lights, because I've witnessed it. I've seen it.
I saw it today. Before I came here, I was on. I was coming down. Is that Laketon, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that light right there, I stopped. Like, it's a stop sign. It's a red light. He went.
Gone.
He was texting.
You're just lucky that the traffic didn't actually take off right away.
Yeah, I see it all the time. I see it about once a week, where somebody drive through a red light.
It's scary. It's scary, man.
Yep.
You know, that's why you have to drive very cautious. You know, even though this light turned green, try.
Yes, sir.
I am looking both ways before I pull into the intersection. Because, like I say, we see it too frequently. So, just some words of caution with these this no-fault insurance. You know, how we manage our driving skills. We sort of got off the path that we had planned for today. But again, I just felt compelled to have this discussion about the importance of having the right coverage in the event something happens. The old saying is, old folks say it's best to have it and don't need it than to need it and don't have it.
That's exactly right. You're exactly right.
Hopefully next week we can talk about some components of life insurance, alternatives to final expense planning. Just kind of get back to the financial piece of our show.
Yeah, but now this was a great golden nugget. I was just thinking about my insurance the other day, and like I'm paying off a vehicle, right? And I was like, I'll be done with this. I'll have this excess amount of funds. And I was just thinking, I was like, man, my insurance probably could be a little bit cheaper because the vehicle will be older, but mm-hmm. I'll still be able to have that same coverage. I won't have
if you wanted holder. To, you can drop it down to the limited coverage. You know, we talked about. That's not the broad form collision, but if it's an older vehicle.
But I want to keep my 100-300 though.
Right, no, yeah, you don't never change that.
I never change that.
You don't change that. And if you just go down to strictly PL&PD, you know, you can go up on personal automobiles, you can go up to $1 million for liability coverage. After that, then you have to buy an umbrella.
All right, so that's I always want to keep with that number you said. I'm going to keep that. But like certain things I want to lower when the vehicle's older, like, but I'm going to keep that those two numbers right.
Yeah, but comprehensive coverage, collision coverage, you always look at, well, any event the car got demolished, what is the insurance going to pay me for the vehicle?
Yeah,
okay, but the no fault, which is your property damage and personal liability, regardless of how old the car is, those numbers stay the same.
Keep that 100 and 300.
Minimum.
So you heard that, audience? So like, this is a great golden nugget. Keep the 100, 300, and you can play with the other numbers.
And don't be afraid to go to 500. Take a look at it. Ask your agent, if I went to $500,000 in coverage on my PL&PD, what would it cost me? And you'll be amazed. It will be, over a matter of 6 months, it'll probably be
$10. It's a good deal. It's a good deal.
Okay. Versus having to deal with that in court.
Okay. Well, I'm Chauncey Williams.
And I'm Tony Williams.
This is What Do I Do Now? Your guide to credit, debt, and planning for financial success with 103.7 The Beat.